Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. Today, we have a lackadaisical chat with the hilarious comedian Zhao Ying Summers. And now for the bad news. This is the worst audio quality I've ever had to deal with. And I just want to put a note up top. I was able to, this was an over hour interview. I salvaged maybe like 25 minutes from it. If the audio is too hard to listen to, I understand. I won't be offended. And trust me, nobody is more upset than me, who paid $300 for the video and audio in a studio for this. So if you're ever doing a podcast live in Denver and you want to know where not to go to, let me know. So basically, you know, this is just going to be a little bit choppy. I just wanted to put it out as a thank you to Zhao Ying for coming on and for anyone who's a fan of hers. She is hilarious. We all ended up going to her show here in Denver afterwards, and I was like openly cracking up the entire time. She's so funny. Definitely check her out on TikTok. She does a bunch of podcasts. She's doing live shows. She is funny. The audio is terrible. So basically, this is like a mishmash of different moments that had the not worst sound quality attached to them. We talk about comedian stuff. We talk about the difference between American and Chinese culture. We talk about some pop culture, conspiracy theories. You know we're into all of that stuff. So hopefully the audio is not too bad for you, but you can go check her out on other people's podcasts where they have better quality because she is an absolute dynamite of a person. So here we go. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. I am here with a fabulous guest. We have Zhao Ying Summers with us. Fantastic, legendary comedian. You also have the podcast Tiger MILF, and you are here in Denver for a show. So I'm happy we got to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I feel like such a home experience. I got to podcast with you. We are going to go to this little brewery after that. And I'm playing the Oriental Theater. The Oriental girl is coming to play the Oriental Theater. I just feel right like home. It's great.
So as you tour across the country, what do you kind of see in these different cities, like the different vibes of people?
I think by the coasts, like San Francisco, Seattle, they have big Asian community. And I can sell out like months before the show even arrived. But Denver is different. There's not too many Asians. I'm very grateful we are like over 300 tickets sold, almost 400. Tickets sold. I'm pretty grateful for that because our tickets are pretty expensive. Around $40. I felt that actually people ask me, which is your favorite city? They are all different. And the older I got in comedy is that I just don't really try to please the people because of where they are, who they are. I just do my thing. That end up, I lost fans from that, but I gained more fans from doing that, is being
so
who I am.
What's like an example of something you could say that would offend people in a certain city?
So if I was in Texas, right, I'm playing Dallas, I will still do my abortion joke.
Oh, yeah.
I used to, when I first toured Texas, I would not do that because I know people are going to freak out. They will hate me for it.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like, that's who I am. And I do that and they still love me. Yeah. Which is the beauty of being a comedian is that it's not personal. People are going to hate you. But if you are not authentic, you try to please the audience wherever you go. Nope. You are not really comedian. You are not a comedian. You are just trying to please them.
Yeah.
You can feel that energy.
Well, so there's so many people nowadays who like, you know, I just feel like people are so quick to see snippets of things, especially like when comedians try to show their content on TikTok or Reels, you have to kind of shorten it. So sometimes you can't do the full joke and people will get, you know, very upset, maybe because they don't know somebody's background or style. Are you noticing that a lot of comedians are trying to be more PC?
Comedians try to be more PC, or they try to be fake edgy. Like they try to pretend that they are being edgy, being like cool, but then they don't say shit. Like this is gonna be very racist. I don't like gluten, you know. I'm like fuck off. So just it's sad to see, but also I'm happy because little bitches who has no courage make my life easier.
Okay, so who are some comedians that you would say you really admire? You think that they're sticking to their guns?
I think Joan Rivers is my all-time favorite.
Oh,
I love her.
Joan Rivers.
With all my heart. Margaret Cho is such an icon.
Yeah.
She is just, she's so ahead of her time. And Bill Burr is, I like Bill Burr. Yeah, Segura. I love, I just like comedians who are true to themselves.
And we were saying before we got on, I was asking you about Matt Rife because I feel like he's the comedian on everyone's lips. And you said you've worked with him before.
Yeah, we were always on the lineup at the Ice House, I mean, the Laugh Factory. And he's very sweet to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I and
he's
him,
been in the field for a long time. Like a lot of people think he just kind of popped off on TikTok, but I think he's been doing comedy for
like 15
years.
He started when he's
18. Yeah.
He actually, if you look at his Instagram, when he's like a 17-year-old, he's posting Carlin. He really is a comedy nerd. He loved comedy a lot. And when it really worked out for him, he was ready for it. A lot of people won't be ready, but my ref, I think he has more than 10 years under his belt.
I mean,
10 years, that is.
But well, I know because everybody's going through to see if he got plastic surgery. So all the photos that they pull from the before photos are him when he was on, what was that TV show? Where you're like going back and forth. What's it called?
Wild and About or Stand Up? Like
the first one.
Wild and About.
Yeah, yeah. Wild and Out. And,
Wild and Out, yeah.
And they would like take pictures of him to be like, did he get a chin implant or lip filler? And because I have seen all those videos of people dissecting the plastic surgery, I went back and I was like, no, he's been doing comedy for a long time.
Like, yeah, he's always gets, looking like, you know, a chubby lesbian his whole life. He's just people who like him, who hate him, hate him. He's always been a pretty boy.
Yeah.
He has big lips, big jaw. He's just always being aloof.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I booked him on I produced the OnlyFans comedy show. I had my ref on it.
Mm.
And we had a good time at my club in Pasadena. Yeah, I'm very happy for him.
I think it's interesting how he was getting a lot of flack from people on the internet.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
just kind of steered into the skid, which I feel like you have to do at a certain point.
Oh, yeah. In Chinese, we say, 人怕出名,猪怕壮. A person should be feared of being mega famous, just like a pig should be afraid of when you got really fat.
Yes.
That's when people are going to fucking butcher you. So that's expected.
Chinese culture that has the evil eye, or is that a different culture?
I think Turkish culture has evil eye.
That's it, yeah.
But Chinese culture, kids have nicknames that's pretty ugly nicknames, because we have our main name is like beautiful. Mm-hmm. But we have a nickname. Like you have a boy who's like golden boy and his nickname is like a turd. You know, like, hi turd, come here. Because we think if you give the bad names to the kid, so there's less jealousy towards them, so they have a more easy, peaceful life.
Wait, that's so interesting.
It's interesting, yes.
Now, does that work for negative self-talk? Like, the more you hate yourself, will less people be jealous of you, or is that just poisonous to the person?
I think Chinese culture really emphasizes on being humble.
Mm.
Nothing, you should never be proud of yourself, that kind of thing.
Mm.
I grew up in an environment, like, my nickname was Cage Fighter. I was never the pretty girl. Nobody wanted me. But I just kind of have the self-confidence that's kind of nowhere. I'm really confident.
Yeah,
I think I'm beautiful, even though in the standard of Chinese beauty, like I'm dark, I have big jaw and stuff. I'm not pretty, but I don't think so. I think the beauty standard is diverse, like
well,
in America.
Also, like what is the beauty? The fact that the beauty standard varies all across the globe is so interesting, because like there is no global beauty standard. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are for some things, right? Like a symmetrical face, everybody wants that. Mm-hmm. But I've heard you talk about the difference between Asian and American beauty standards. So what were some things that most people might not know?
America, like tan skin. Being tan is the sign of sexy and you have money for vacation. It's just healthy, whatever. But in Asia...
And you look skinnier, I think, when you're tanned. Yeah.
Yeah. And in Asia is being pale skin, being light skinned. You have to be white in order to be beautiful. And there's a saying, 一白遮千丑. It means if your skin is white, it can cover all your ugliness. Which is hilarious. It works in America too. It's more about classism, because in China, the poor people work on the farm.
Mm.
Rich people don't get in the sun. So poor people are dark, and it's more like being classicist rather than being racist. Also, big lips is not attractive in Asia. We think big lips is ugly, and in America is attractive.
Yeah, so yeah, it seems like a lot of things are flip-flopped, kind of.
It's very funny, but I think globalization, and I think things are going to get better. But if you look at the K-pop stars, they are so pale, so skinny.
Yeah. Oh my God, they're so skinny. I worry for a lot of them when I watch them performing, and you hear sometimes of these K-pop stars fainting.
Yeah.
And they just, okay, we have another girl who will be happy to take your job, you know? So it's not even a condition where you could say, we need to be treated better, we need this, we need that, because there's so many girls willing to take your place.
Oh, yeah.
The demand is out of control.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not attractive in China. And I don't give a fuck. When I was on the cover for this like film magazine, so I did the Cosmopolitan GQ. They were like, we can, you know, we're going to make sure you don't look like this. You're going to be skinnier and taller and whiter. I'm like,
they
know.
Told you that they were going to Photoshop
it, because they just don't want me to worry about it, because they think that's what I want.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, don't worry. We're going to make sure you look great. That's how, like, you know, skinny, taller. I'm like, no. I want to be dark and thick, and I want the other girl who look like this and feel good about themselves. They're like, oh my God. You know what? I'm so happy you want this.
Yeah.
So they were actually very happy that I wanted to look the way I look, and they think it's very healthy for, because nobody on China's cosmopolitan look like me.
Well, I also think it's like that idea of them being like, we're going to Photoshop you. There are some countries, I think somewhere in Europe, where you have to disclose if the ad is Photoshopped or if people are being airbrushed. And the fact that we don't have that here in the States, I'm just like, it's astronomical to me. Like the amount of damage it does seeing things online and on magazines, like every single thing is air touched. You don't know who's who. Like even the models aren't the models on there.
That's true. Even the models don't look like that.
Yeah.
It's very bad for the girls, little girls, to feel fat, to feel they are too dark or too light. Because what you have is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very pretty when I was young. I was never appreciating of how pretty I was. I was always hating on myself.
Yes.
Now I'm older. I mean, I'm not as good looking as I used to be, but I like myself more now because I have to. This is what I got.
When did you say the cutoff? Like, I think when I turned 30, I was just kind of, I made peace with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But like in my 20s, I was always stressed out about something. I would like hyperfixate on one flaw for like 2 weeks, and then I would move to another one, another one, another one. There probably isn't an inch that I haven't like analyzed at some point, you know? But at 30, I think you just kind of let that go.
I think after I got rid of my ex-husband, that's when I really reflect on how much I love myself. Just like I got rid of the toxic people from your life. And hitting 30 is a good time to be like, I don't have time to give a fuck about little bullshit anymore.
Yeah. What about when you had kids? Because I hear of some people saying that the way that they view their body after going through pregnancy is like, well, I now view my body as like, is it working? Am I taking care of it? Mm-hmm. Less so like, how does it look in jeans and stuff?
I think I was pretty brutal. I lost 50 pounds, 30 pounds in 3 months after the baby.
Oh my God.
I was not going to be fat. I was very unhealthy. Mentally, I was just really tough on myself.
Yeah.
I was not. Yeah, I had major postpartum depression after my son.
And how long does that last for, like postpartum depression?
That was bad. Also, it's just everything together. My marriage was falling apart. My ex-husband was very mentally abusive. Plus, with the depression, my mother and I were not in good terms. And I was seeking for therapy. And my ex think I don't need therapy. I'm sad because I don't care about my child because I'm a bad mother.
Mm.
It's all combined together that it was bad. It lasted a long time. It lasted me like at least 8 months.
Yeah,
and I was some of the darkest place I ever went to. I was suicidal at some point. So I really just want people, especially the Asian Americans, they don't believe in therapy, but postpartum depression is real. And
also postpartum anxiety. Some people even develop postpartum OCD. Like there's all of these things that can happen to you. And I just feel like, you know, it's, we're learning more about pregnancy and what it's like in this generation more than we ever have before. Before, like people weren't even talking about like condoms and birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm hearing about like not only do your ankles swell, but also like latching, having the baby like latch onto the nipples, like very emotional. Mm-hmm. And like there's just all these different parts of it. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there. I think there's like a lot of Republicans out there too who are trying to be like, no, it's all good. It's all good. Like keep having babies. But I want to be aware of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just so much more than having a kid and popping it out. Like, you know, laughing, peeing when you laugh afterwards. Like the mental block of it. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, being a mother is such a huge, huge, difficult job.
Yeah.
Women do so much. Yeah, we really do a lot.
Yeah. Well, are you single now? Or are you dating anyone?
I'm single. Yes.
Okay. So what you said before that you don't date comedians. So what would you say is your type?
I can't date comedians. I think we are just fucked up.
Yeah.
Comedians are really fucked up. Like I can't date a shady comedian who's not fucked up. I'm kidding. I can't date a comedian. There's no way out there.
Well, so many comedians are, I think they're A, deeply sad. I also think B, they really crave a lot of external validation because their entire job is am I hearing people laugh?
Validation.
If I'm not, it's not good. And I just feel like too, I used to teach improv and I did improv for a while and I was studying up at the Second City. And I just remember I was with a bunch of comedians up there for a while and they wouldn't let go of the bit. Like we would be having a party and this would be back when you put out a Facebook invite and it would be like, okay, like Facebook invite, housewarming. And every single person would have to reply to the invite with like some sort of bit or joke about how they were coming, but also like a joke, you know, to show that they were funny. And I was just like, this is exhausting. Like comedy is the work, but I feel like there's some comedians that are always on, like always proving something.
Yeah.
And I just find that interesting. And so many of them too struggle with mental health, but they make everybody laugh. Yeah, it's fascinating.
It's very annoying when like sometimes like I would say something and just in my mind, I'm just born this way. I'm not trying to be funny, but I just say stupid shit. But some comedians and they just are very competitive in daily life. I can't handle them.
Well, what have you heard about comedians? And, you know, if you're friends with any of these people, you don't have to ask about it. But I was obsessed with the Jeffrey Epstein case. Mm-hmm. And we cover, you know, different like scandals and things that happen in the pop culture world. And there have been so many comedians that have been linked to like underage girls dating them, all the way from like Jerry Seinfeld, right, back in the day to what's that guy? He was in Chris something, Danilo or something like that. And then there was also that guy, Jeff Ross, and he like dated that girl who was like underage and like her whole thing. Anyway, so I just find that interesting because a lot of people say, well, maybe this is somebody who wasn't cool in high school. So they're trying to get like approval from a high schooler. Is that something you notice in the industry?
I don't think his comedians obsessed with like younger girls. I think like celebrities are obsessed with when you are a man, you are not hot, and then you got hot and you get attention from everybody. It's just they're just, and the girls, maybe they lie about their age, and they don't, the men are stupid, you know, they would fuck a hole on a wall. They're so fucking stupid, you know, piece of shit. They don't even think.
Yeah.
And they would date a girl like, oh, I didn't know you were 16, you know, like you should know.
Yeah.
And I just think they're just stupid. Yeah, they should do better. I really think men should do better. And they become fathers one day. And they imagine it's your daughter.
I know.
Is getting fucked by a bald, ugly comedian. Like,
isn't that crazy?
Because girls, like, when underage girls, they are emotional. They are stupid. They don't know better.
Oh, my God. I don't think you know anything until, like, you're 25. Like, yeah. I think even in your young 20s, like, you're still rocking that type of brain and that type of thinking.
So I just think, I really think there's no excuse.
Today's episode is brought to you by Way. You've heard me talk about Way hair products before. I love them, and they've got a new product out right now. It is an anti-frizz cream. It provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours, which is great because at least for me, my hair always gets much more frizzy when it's the hot, humid summer months. So you can check out their new anti-frizz cream and add it to your hair routine. They also have a bunch of their best sellers that I also love. Detox shampoo. I love a detox shampoo. I honestly can't believe that they're kind of new to the market because the way that as a kid, I always had buildup in my hair and I just didn't know you could get rid of it. I love the Way detox shampoo. And they also have hair gloss. I feel like sometimes your hair is a little bit down in the dumps and you don't know what it needs. It's usually dull. It needs a little bit of shine. So you can check out the Way hair gloss for that. So you can frizz free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and you can enter the promo code Fluently, which will get you 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with the promo code Fluently. You and your family follow a lot of like the Chinese astrology and zodiac, anything like that?
I think it's my father, my grandpa is like a Chinese literature, Confucius feng shui master. So my whole life is like, is this a good feng shui? Is it a bad feng shui?
Yes.
Can't have food left over. You're going to become poor if you waste food. Like, it's all kind of like a Chinese thing. I live around it. It's just like part of my life.
No, I love
it. I can't help
things,
and I got angry at my friends if they waste food, waste water, waste drinks. I just like, I cannot be a part of it because
if you are wasting water, like you have to finish
if you have a cup of water, you don't finish it, you just dump it. Like, I was here to witness this. I didn't stop you. I'm gonna get poor from being with you. Like, can you not do this for me? Because I cannot be poor.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Because I grew up always having to like finish everything on your plate, but I've been trying not to do that because so many times I'll eat until I'm sick because I just overserve myself and I'm like, what are you doing? But see, now I'm gonna keep doing it because I don't want to be poor.
You serve yourself a little, because in Chinese, they also say you have to only be 70% full.
Yeah.
You cannot be more than 70% full.
No, that's a good
one.
The
secret of longevity is to be 70% full.
Oh, and now is that just with eating or is that with like everything in life?
Everything.
Only 70%
not
full.
Not sex though. You have to fuck all the way up. But
only have 70%. Just edge yourself until you die, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. So unless it's sex, 70% of everything.
Yeah, you don't, if you feel full.
What about pooping? Only get 70%
pooping,
out.
I think let everything out.
Yeah, everything out. Yeah. Pooping, sex.
Pooping, sex.
Thing.
It's just the in and out.
Well, I have some pop culture questions for you. The new Taylor Swift album came out. Everybody in the world is talking about how they love it or hate it. What are your thoughts on Taylor Swift? Are you a Swiftie?
I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not a fan of her music. But when I was little, in college, I loved her songs. When I just started learning English, you know, the song about what was it? Like love song. This is the love story. Love story.
It's
it's beautiful. She's brilliant. But I'm more like a Janis Joplin kind of. person. But but I think she's a brilliant artist and she's self-made. And she has a rich dad, but she still is self-made because she writes all her music. She writes her music. So she is going to be evergreen. Taylor Swift will always be there because she's like Barbara Streisand. She can write her music and that she has control over her destiny. Mm. And she didn't like feel fuck with her. Like, you know, her manager is trying to steal her music. She's like, oh, fuck off. You know, this is mine. So I think she is a very good role model for young girls to be confident, to be beautiful, to be you, and to, you know, if the boyfriend don't work out, fuck off. There's next one waiting for me. So I think she's great.
She's a great role
model. Her taste, I'm just too dark, you know. I like darker music. Mm-hmm. Her music is too bright and happy for me. If my mom never beat me, maybe I would like her more. But unfortunately, you know, I grew up in a very tough environment.
I do think, you know, a lot of people say Taylor Swift plays the victim. She definitely does play the victim. And I notice a lot of her diehard fans are also people who get a little bit of a kick. You know, I love to armchair speculate on people, but I think a lot of her fans also love to be in positions of victimhood. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends who don't like Taylor Swift, they are the self-assured, confident women who don't take shit, who sit on faces. Like, mm-hmm. if you're listening to Taylor Swift, you're probably not sitting on your man's face. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like that's kind of the Venn diagram.
I think so. She presents to be a victim, but she knows she's a fucking queen.
She's a billionaire. Like, you cannot be a victim and a billionaire. Yeah.
But she looked like that, though. She looked like a little princess. That's what she looked like. But now she's getting darker. You see the new one. She has a face tattoo all over her body and her dark,
she's
you know.
She's trying to be edgy.
She's going to get edgier. Yeah, but she grew up in our eyes. You know, she was a girl. She grew up, you know, as a little, pretty little girl playing guitar and then to all the breakups and become famous.
Yeah, she loves the bad boy. And I almost feel like it's because she grew up being like, oh, you're such a good girl, that she loves, like, a racist boyfriend, TBH. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, like, the last boyfriend, right? That everybody made her stop dating. Or she loves, like, a John Mayer who's giving, like, chlamydia to everyone in Hollywood. Like, she loves some sort of dark, bad boy with a bunch of tattoos who's really twisted. And I find that so interesting.
I don't like bad boys.
You do?
I don't.
Yeah.
If they don't respect me, I'm going to fucking smash them. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a mom, you know, I don't give a fuck. You know, if you are, like, just shit talking, I'm going to fucking beat you up. Like, I don't give a fuck. But she's a huge American success.
She is a big success. Now, what do you think, too? There's a new movie with Zendaya out called Challengers. It's this tennis movie. It's written off of a book. A lot of big trends of these, like, erotic fan fiction books that are being turned into movies, which I love. And I'm seeing the movie this week. It's giving female, male, male threesome. It's giving two guys, one girl hooking up. What do you think of that power dynamic?
I think I can fuck two guys, but I can't fuck a girl and a guy. Like, I want two guys fighting for affection.
See, I think that's, like, too much to handle. Like,
do a threesome in real life. I would never do a threesome. I'm very romantic. Like, I want, like, if
what if they were both in love with you?
Not a threesome. No. I can't do it. But I'm just, like, really romantic. Like, I can't do a threesome. Mm. I can't handle it. I don't know. I just can't do it.
So you like the monogamy idea?
Yeah. I like a one man. Just, like, I can't do a threesome.
Well, back to conspiracy theories. Have you heard the one about the Denver airport that you might have
flown into? I want to know. Tell me everything. Oh, my God.
So basically, there used to be an airport that was pretty close to Denver. Everybody liked it. Nobody had a real big problem with it. And then, I don't know, maybe 20 years. I don't know the exact timeline. They said, we're going to move the airport and we're going to put it all the way, like, super, super east of Denver. You have to drive, like, 45 minutes to get out there and then 45 minutes back. Mm-hmm. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So people were kind of confused by this. They put this big airport out there. Massive structure. They built it. And then as it was about to be finished, they went, we fucked something up. So this level actually has to be underground and we're going to rebuild on top of it. So they built a whole other structure on top of the one that they mucked up, allegedly. And then they went, okay, great. The airport's ready. It's in this huge empty area space far away from everything. And people noticed weird things. Like, they have this blue Mustang horse with, like, these evil red eyes at the beginning of the airport when you drive in. And it looks like this evil demon horse. And the sculptor who created the horse, it actually fell on him and killed him right when he was finished making it. Mm-hmm. So that's some spooky stuff. They also used to have these weird murals all throughout the airport of, like, open caskets.
Oh my God.
In a Nazi mask and children crying in front of the open caskets with a bunch of extinct and endangered animals in glass behind them. It was the type of thing where it's like, what the hell? Like, this has nothing to do with travel. It's just so weird. It was all this strange stuff about the airport. And allegedly, I've talked to some people, our belief is that there's a government bunker underneath the Denver airport, and they want a place that's right in the middle of the country, underneath ground in a bunker, because they had that whole structure where they're like, ooh, we just did a flub, so I guess we have to, you know, all of this is underground, not being used. But it is being used for government stuff. And they put the airport all the way out there. So that way, if you need to land all of these massive fighter jets and everything around the airport in case shit goes crazy, you can come to Denver, have a bunch of space to put all of your military gear, hide the president in the basement. And there used to be Hotel Greenbrier or something. It was somewhere outside of D.C. And it was this hotel that had a secret bunker area with like a fake Congress and everything. And that would be if, you know, a bomb was sent. Everyone from D.C., you know, involved politically would go hide there in the hotel. That would be the bunker. And the same year that that hotel closed was the same year that the Denver airport was opened. So they think they just swapped bunkers.
I think they did. I believe in that kind of story. And I think the sculptures are pretty crazy. I mean, the Outlook Hotel, the movie Shining, happened in Denver, right?
Yeah, over in Estes Park.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I think it's crazy they had that kind of art there. That's pretty crazy. The open casket. That's pretty brutal.
And now they've done a bunch of renovations, and I think they've taken down the murals. But it was really weird shit. And they used to have these plaques, too, that said, like, this airport is brought to you by the New World Order.
Oh, my God.
And then they made fun of it. They used to have all these signs, like, construction is happening, or is it just aliens, like, making fun of people. And it's like, okay, don't make fun of us for being conspiracy theorists. Why were there children crying in front of open caskets plastered all over the airport? Like, that's weird. Explain that, you know?
That's just awful.
Well, last thoughts here before we wrap up. Speaking of everything going on with China, the TikTok ban, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that we're going to be seeing, you know, saying goodbye to this app?
I think TikTok said that they'd rather just like clear out to cancel the app in America than selling it. And I believe they'll do that. They don't want to be supporting the unfair trading because it's not fair. You can't force somebody to sell something.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody forced me to be a prostitute, you know? I'm like, no, I'll fuck Brad Pitt for free, but I'm going to pay you Harvey Weinstein to suck your dick, you know? You know, I think they are not going to cave in. They are going to cancel the app here.
I think that somebody for the past 3 years has been working on like an American version of TikTok in the background the whole time.
I hope
they're just going to launch that. And
I hope so.
Use
because,
it here.
You know, like just like how Twitter did Thread. I mean, like Instagram did Thread.
Yeah. And they also stole from Snapchat. I mean, Instagram just steals from everyone.
Yeah, my his wife is Chinese, so you can't help that. And she's a doctor, too. Very smart woman.
We'll let everybody know where else you're going to be on tour in case anybody wants to catch you live.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes, tonight we are at Denver on the April 28th. It's Berea Improv. And May 2nd, I'm doing the Netflix A Joke Festival in Los Angeles. May 11th is Dallas. Then I am May 12th, New York. 12 to 14 New York, and then May 15, 16, 17, 18, I'm in Florida. I'm all over. I'm coming all over America.
Woohoo!
SummersComedy.com.
Where in Florida?
Tickets. Florida, Naples, Florida, and
Boca Raton.
Boca Raton. I can't say it.
Yeah.
Boca Raton. Mm-hmm. I can't say it.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and for
everybody having
else.
Me. So much fun. You are so smart. I love all of the questions. You're brilliant. I'm excited about this episode.
Well, you're fun to talk to.
Thank you
for coming on. And for everybody else, we will see you next week for another episode of Fluently Forward. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.